it's neat to see what God's doing and for us to be a part of it so many miles away. It always fascinates me that we can be a part of what our groups who leave us to go minister to those around the world, that we can still be a very active part and interact with them as we are covering them in prayer throughout the time that they're gone. You know, this morning's message is something that's very real and passionate in my life. And as we begin a new series today for the next month, we're going to be looking at the biblical truth and principles behind giving and stewardship. And this is something that through the years of being a believer that God has really made real in my own life. So this morning I'm not just speaking from a teaching point of view about what God's Word says, but that's going to be true, but also from a very personal point of view of what I've seen God do within my own life and the lives of others in accomplishing His desires in this area of our lives. And your insert today doesn't have any blanks, but it's got a lot of information. Some of those things you'll probably hear me say in the next several minutes, but more than anything else, it's going to be hopefully a resource for you to take with you from this service and to use as you begin studying and focusing on this idea for the next month as we as a church emphasize the idea and the truth of God's Word in giving. You know, in the Bible, there's 500 verses, give or take a few, that have to do with prayer. There's also, in that same vicinity, 500 verses that have to do with faith. But there's over 2,000 verses in God's Word that have to do with the idea of stewardship and giving when it comes to the believer. And so we're really going to focus on that. And when you see in the volume of what God's Word says, how important this truth is and how important it should be in our lives as believers. Also, as Jesus told his stories, which we call parables, which were ways that he taught, there's 16 of those 38 parables that had to do with giving or our possessions. You know, so as we focus on that, what we're talking about this morning is not something that God takes lightly, or that he just, it was an afterthought. It's at the heart of who he is. And we're going to see that this morning as we look at Scripture. If you would, turn with me in Malachi, if you have your Bible, or it's printed actually in the insert, if you want to follow along there. But this is going to be our focal passage for this morning, and then we're going to expand from that. Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In his response, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." You know, there's several things in that passage that we're going to look at as we progress through the message this morning. Number one, if we're not giving back to God what God's already given to us, he says, you're robbing me. You know, it's very clear. You know, there's some things in Scripture we have to look at. And we have to go, okay, what's God mean by that? Well, this one's a black and white one. You know, if we're not returning, and I'm going to use that word, because it's really everything we have is God provided. Everything. You know, I was listening to an early morning news show a couple of weeks ago, and they had four laid off workers on that show from General Motors. And they had followed these men, and after they'd gotten laid off and what they did and how they were progressing since they'd lost their jobs. You know, and this one man was being interviewed, and he was talking about that, you know, he'd gone back to get some schooling and some further education so he could, you know, pursue something else. But the interviewer asked him, he says, "Aren't you angry at General Motors for laying you off? You know, and his response to that question was, he goes, you know, I can't be angry at them. He says, they provided my house. They provided my car. They provided education for my kids. They provided for my vacations. And he went on and on. And it kind of stunned the interviewer because I think she was trying to push a button to get him to get mad about what General Motors had done to lay him off. But I said, no. They gave me all of this. Yeah, it's a bad luck on my part, bad timing, perhaps, that I'm the one who lost my job. And he talked about he was like a third generation worker for General Motors. His dad had, his grandfather had. But he wasn't angry because he understood the principle that we have to understand is that General Motors provided that for him. And us as believers, we have to understand that God has given us all we have. Our money, our stuff, our opportunities have all come from God. And so when God talks about giving to him, he's talking about us giving back to him a small part of what he's already given to us. And that's why you may hear me say this morning about all we're doing is returning to God what he's already given to us. So in that case, we become stewards. Thus the word stewardship that we hear talked about so often in the church. That we're just stewards of what God's already provided. We're not owners. You know, we may have a document that says we own this house or we own this car, but in actuality, we're stewards of what God has provided us. And the question becomes, what are we going to do with what God's given us? You know, the idea of the tithe, that word, sometimes when you hear that word, you go, you know, God's going to talk to me about my money. I'm going to talk to you about your money this morning. Because that comes at the heart of what we believe about God. Because there's a lot of things you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you a little time. I'm going to give you my abilities, but my money? And see, it doesn't make any difference how much money we have. God in his instruction doesn't say, well, if you only have $100, then you know you only have to give me 1%. Or if you have $1 million, then you have to give me 50%. Now see, it's a consistent teaching in God's word about, I want you to return to me that 10%. That's what that word tithe means. And it also, throughout Scripture, it has the idea of the first. Okay? Always. It's always talking about the first fruits, the firstborn. Throughout Scripture, we see that often. Now, I've listed some of those verses there. Even on my notes, I can't remember if I put it in yours or not, but even Jesus, in giving his only begotten Son, gave his first, his only, which is a picture there, a model of what giving our first and our best back to God is. Let's look at Exodus 13:2 is an example of this. Very early in the teaching of God's word, and even before you know, we see the law presented, we see this. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast. It belongs to me. Very clear. Very clear what God's word says. And see, that's what tithing really is. It's giving our first. So, you know, as we think about this concept of the tithe, of giving that top 10%, that first 10%, you know, it's not something that, you know, that man's created. This was God's intent. You know, we read the passage from Malachi. You know, we see Moses writing this in Exodus. That was God's expectation. You know, and anytime you give something off the top and first, there's the potential of our minds questioning, okay, if I give the first, how do I know I'm going to make it to the end? For most of us, it's by months. That's how we work our finances. You know, and if I give off the top and God says I have to live off 90%, how am I going to get to the end of the month? Because I don't know what's going to come. Well, see, that's the radical expectation of faith. That's where we trust God with that. I mean, that concept for us in our society is a tough one. Because we want to, you know, most of us are planners. We want to be able to, okay, this is where it's all going. You see, what God wants to do, God says back in Malachi, remember what he said? He says, test me in this. You know, there's not too many times in Scripture where God says, test me. Just try me. But this is one of them. He says, you give back to me. You return to me what I gave to you, what I blessed you with. He says, I'm going to bless you even more when you're obedient to that concept. And that's why tithing is so important. It's the primary way, I really believe, it's the primary way that we acknowledge God being first in our lives. You know, there's a lot of other ways that we can I think, mimic that or model that. But I think this is the primary way. What we do with what God's given us says very boldly, this is what I believe about you, God. Back to what I said a while ago. You know, when you look at it and you go, golly, God, I barely get to the end of the month. Every month, it's tight. You know, how can I give that up front? Well, that's where God says, trust me. Try me. I want to bless you. I want to prove myself to you. And this is how I want to do it. And again, it's throughout Scripture. It's not just a one-time verse you can pull out. 2,000 times God talks about the idea, as I said earlier. And very specifically, he talks about the best and the first coming off the top. No, not getting to the end of that month and going, okay, I've got a little bit left. This is what I'm going to give. And seeing the other concept there from the Malachi passage that I want you to see, looking back at that verse, is that where that first gift, that first fruit is supposed to go. It says to the storehouse. That's referring to the house of worship. It's referring to here. And that becomes very important in the way we see how we give that. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 is another passage I want you to see. Proverbs, a book of wisdom. In chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, it, you know, that excites me that if I give back to God what God's given me, he's going to turn around and bless me. It says, your vats, your barns will be full. But first, obey me. Honor me by giving your very best back to me, which is the first. God listed on the back of your note sheets and what I call just facts and figures about the Heights Fellowship. Because I want to be very open and transparent about us, who we are as a church family, and where we are right now in our financial status. You know, last year, 2008, we brought in, with our gifts and offerings from our church family and people who love us and care about us, about $550,000. That's rounded off. Okay? Right now, looking at our projection for this year, we're probably going to bring in about $540,000. Throughout the entirety of the year. A little down, but not a whole lot. Same ballpark. But as our elders have begun meeting and looking at it, where are we going? Where are we going as a church? What's the projection? You know, we've asked all of our ministry team leaders, our ministers to, you know, submit, you know, their proposal. This is what I'd like to see happen. And what you see on that next line is the 2010 proposal, and that's not set in stone. Right now, we're still working on that. We're still putting all that together and trusting God and praying about what our target should be. But you see, $650,000 to $675,000. You know, in the last 2 months, we've added new staff. If you've walked back in our children's area, you see that our workers do an outstanding job with a lot of children in a small space. You know, the need for space is coming. In the next year, our lease on this building, we don't own this building, we lease it, it's going up. It's going to increase. And plus, as we just watched a while ago, we're beginning to have multiple opportunities to minister to people, not only here in Lubbock, Texas, in the state of Texas, but all around the world. See, all these things are happening. I mean, God has put his hand on the Heights Fellowship. In 7 years, you know, we've grown from 30 people who had a vision and a dream about this is what God wants us to do, to where we have anywhere from 700 to 800 people here every Sunday in 7 years. And see, God knew that was going to happen. He intended it to happen. But yet he also intends us as those who are believers who plug our life in here to be obedient to what he's told us to do. And that's to give back, to return. And see, that's how, you know, all this stuff, these lights, the sound, your pastor, it all costs money. You know, that's God's way to fund that. It's not by him dropping sacks of gold down in our parking lot and we go out and pick it up. It's by using us as members of this body to meet the needs of this body. That's the picture. That's the reality of it. And so, back to Malachi. It says, this passage in Malachi makes it very clear that if we keep the tithe to ourselves, we're robbing God. I mean, that's it. That's clear. So that's the expectation, God's expectation. You know, throughout the years, the consistent testimonies I've heard, and I've been a believer since I was 15 years old, I'm 30? No, golly. That would be nice to be 30 again. I'm 51, I've been a believer 36 years. You know, I really don't want to be 30 again now that I think about it. But see, I've been a believer for 36 years. And consistently, the testimonies I hear from those who tithe, who give that 10%, who are obedient in returning what God has given to them, is, I'm blessed. It's amazing how God blesses me through being obedient to that small thing, simple thing. But you know what? Those who don't tithe, you know what I hear from them? When you have that conversation, I can't afford to. You know, it just won't work within my budget. Well, see, from my perspective, from my experience in following after this for a long, long time in my life, I don't know how you can afford not to. Because I've seen God bless my family, bless me, multiple times, over and over. And it started back at a very, very early age. And well, I have paper clips right here, a dollar bill, and you can't see it, but underneath the little paper clip is a dime. And I stuck that in my pocket this morning just to illustrate what my mom and dad taught me many years ago. I don't even remember how long ago. I was kindergarten, first grade, somewhere enough where I can understand that when we went to church, my dad would always say, take this dime and put it in your envelope to take to Sunday school. Okay. And finally, at some point, I asked him, I said, why am I putting the dime in the envelope? I mean, I know we're giving an offering, and it's fun to stick something in the box or the plate or the basket, you know, whatever you might have in Sunday school. But when I asked that question, he told me. He says, because God asks us to give a tenth. He says, right now, you don't make any money. But I want you to understand that this dollar is what God has provided for you. And that dime is what you're to return to Him. It's what you're to give back. And so at a very early age in my life, that concept of giving back to God, that 10%. And see, it was so set in me. It was so a part of who I was. It's not a rule or a law to me anymore. It's my life. It's who I am as far as what God's given me. I don't have to think about it each and every month or each and every week. But that took some time to get there because I was taught that at a very early age. But see, what hasn't changed is that the principle, the truth of it, no matter how much money I make, see, the principle's still the same. The truth's still the same. That dime of that dollar is to go back to God. And because of that, I've watched God work. I mean, numerous times in my life. When there's no way I could have been able to do what we did as a family. We borrowed no money for our daughter to go to college. God provided that. And I've been a teacher or in ministry all my life. It's not like, you know, I'm making millions out there. We paid for a wedding. Cash. God provided that. And if you've had to do that lately, that's not cheap. We've been able, as a family, my wife and I, we've been able to give away a vehicle. Because God provided. See, He blessed that. He took the idea of that 10% and said, I'm going to do exactly for you, Randy and Mina, exactly what I told you in Malachi I was going to do. You honor me in this, and I'm going to bless you because of it. You know, and it's not the concept. You know, when I say that, I almost tense a little bit because it's not a claim it and, you know, what am I trying to say? Name it and claim it kind of religion. It's not. It's honoring what God said to do. It's just being obedient, period. You know, and very practically, you know, I want to challenge you. I hope you're receiving it as a challenge, because that's my intent. If you're not there right now, to challenge you to take God's word and say, you know, I'm going to do that. And you know, and it's not just to gain the blessing. It becomes a heart issue. God, I want to make you first. I want to make you number one in my life. And this is the way I'm going to show that. I'm going to give my best, my first to you. You know, some of the arguments you hear sometimes against this idea of tithing is that, okay, Randy, that's well and good. God did say that. That's in Malachi. But that's Old Testament stuff. That's law stuff. We're under grace now. That's true. But be careful if that's your argument. Because just an example. Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And I'm not even going to turn over there, but I've got part of that verse here. It says, the righteousness of grace always exceeds the righteousness of the law. So, as we think about it, you're going, well, okay, you know, I'm free to give whatever I want to under grace. Absolutely. But if you're going to tag it to that, the standard for grace is higher than the standard for the law. So, if you and I have a conversation afterwards and you're going, Randy, you know, I'm free to give whatever, I'm going to go, great. So you're going to give 12, 13, 14, 15%. Because the standard of grace is much higher in all respects. You know, the law said, do not murder. Jesus said, don't even be angry. Higher standard. The law said, do not commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even look at a woman lustfully. Higher standard. See? Grace is free. And the freedom that comes with that and the idea of giving is that, gosh, I don't have to give just 10%. I can give more as God blesses me. You know, I've known people who've actually flip-flopped God's plan. They give 90% and live on 10. God's blessed them so much they can do that. Now, I haven't figured out how to get there yet. But that would be exciting. Think about it. God blesses you so much, you just totally flip-flop it. But see, all he expects is us to be obedient with that first, that 10%. You know, the question I put at the end of my notes was just a question for all of us to consider. It says, can you imagine what the body of Christ could accomplish if every believer tithed? You know, back just a few minutes ago when I was giving you those facts and figures about us as a body here at the Heights. You know, we have 150 family units. This is in that little box if you want to look at it. And I just played with the numbers. I said, okay, I'm just going to pull a number out of the air. I don't know what the number is. But I said, we have 150 family units that are members of this body. You know, and those are the people that put their lives here. That really, this is what the expectation is for. I mean, if you're just visiting today, you may be a member somewhere else, and that's where your life is. It's where you're plugging in with the body. But with 150 families, assuming that each family unit brings in $50,000 a year, that's assuming, okay? And I know it's not true. We have some that bring in a lot more, and we have some bring in a lot less. That's just pulling a figure out of the air, just to play with numbers. Okay? And if that's the case, then a monthly tithe to that would be $416. And if every one of those 150 family units tithe $416, that would be $62,400 a month. And you can see what the total is if you multiply that times 12. $748,800. I mean, that excites me. If we understand as a body that if we just do our little part, our 10%, what God can do, that's not even taken into consideration gifts and offerings. This is just the minimum. You know, at some point, we're going to outgrow this building. We're pushing it. Is God going to give us a new building somewhere? Maybe. More likely, He's going to use us to provide that and accomplish that and trust Him in that. And that's not going to happen tomorrow. I'm not scaring anybody. We're not starting a building program tomorrow morning. Okay? And not going to be asking for big offerings. That's not the case. But I'm giving you a picture. That's real numbers. Because I know a lot of you have to work with real numbers. And somebody says, okay, this is what we can do. Okay, well, what does that mean? It's kind of nebulous. These are real numbers, or at least close to real numbers. So, back to the question. Can you imagine what the body of Christ could accomplish if every believer tithed? Those people that we just saw on the screen a while ago, for the most part, had to raise their own personal funds to go on that trip. If every believer at the Heights tithed and gave, maybe we fund those trips. That's just part of our mission money. Hey, we want you to go. We're excited you go, and we're going to help foot your bill. Somebody comes to the office at church and says, gosh, God's just putting on my heart the burning for this new ministry. We go, great. You know, we've got these resources over here. We can help you fund that, help you accomplish that, what God's put on your heart. I want to read you a testimonial, and I'm almost done, from a pastor in Southlake, here in Texas. His name's Robert Morse. He's talking about his church, because his church caught the idea of what I've been talking about this morning, what God's Word says about our giving. They caught the truth of that and began living that. This is what he said. He said, I'm so blessed and grateful to pastor a congregation of people who have embraced God's life-giving truth about tithing. As the senior pastor, I see my main responsibility as leading and feeding the congregation. As a result, I spend most of my time studying, praying, and seeking the Lord. Why am I able to do so? Because I have a gifted executive senior pastor who takes care of all the details of church administration and management. Because we have so many tithers, we also are able to provide numerous other pastors and ministers with specialized areas of responsibility. In contrast, most pastors have to do everything themselves because the resources to hire support staff simply aren't available. They have to do all the hospital visitation, all the counseling, all the administration of the church business. These pastors are still expected to bring fresh, relevant, powerful sermons each Sunday. They are still expected to be God's man of anointing and power. Oh, how I wish every pastor had the time and the staff that I have so that they could spend more time with the Lord. This will happen as God's people come to understand the power of tithing and the benefits they will receive when their pastors are able to study, pray, and bring them messages from the throne of God every week. Now, I didn't read you that to say, okay, we're fixing to hire a bunch of new staff. I'm reading you that because that's what can happen. You know, Mike does an outstanding job in accomplishing bringing the word to us. He does. And we should feel blessed because of that. But he's also had to do a lot of other stuff that Pastor Morris listed there too. And see, being able to accomplish those things by other means allows him to be exactly who God called him to be for this church and not taking care of all the nickels and dimes and stuff. The details. It allows him to do that. I mean, that's one pastor who's experienced what it's like to have a church who gives at that level. So back to my question. What, can you imagine what God could do if all of us gave that tithe? Now, I don't want you to walk away this morning feeling depressed. I want you to walk away feeling, man, I've never heard that before. If I just do what I'm supposed to do, God can bless me. I want you to walk away this morning saying, you know, I knew that. I've been keeping a little more to myself than I should have. And make that change. And you may be going, man, I want to be able to do that. I want to see God bless me. I want to see God bless this body. And that's all I have to do to start? I believe that. That's where you start. That's the foundation of the idea of giving. The next several weeks, as the speakers come to this stage, they're going to be talking about giving. And they're going to expand it a lot more than I did. I was the guy that had to pour the concrete this morning. Set the foundation. But see, God wants to use us in such a mighty way. So if you got your feelings hurt this morning, because I'm getting into your back pocket or your purse, that's okay. Come talk to me and I'll give you a big hug and tell you even more what God's done in my life through being obedient to that. Let me pray and we'll be done. God, thank you so much. God, it's just exciting. Every time I get the opportunity to think about it, to pray about it, to talk about it as I have this morning, it excites me because I know it's not something that I'm going, you know, I hope God does that in my life. But this is something that I can say with great confidence and experience and a history that, God, you're true to your word. You're true to say, test me. And when we do, you bless us. And God, I pray this morning, no matter how this has been received by each individual person sitting under the sound of my voice, I pray that, God, you use it to challenge them and encourage them. And those that are out there who are tithers already, God, just continue to bless them, because they know they have the same experiences and history I have with trusting you with that. And God, I thank you ahead of time. I'm thanking you right now for what you're going to do. You've already done so many things through this body of believers called the Heights. But you're going to do so much more in the days to come as we're obedient to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful Sunday.